Well, good morning. Glad everyone is here this morning. Looking forward to these words from the book of Ephesians that we're going to look at this morning. Chapter 5, verses 9 through 11. If you have your Bibles, please open them up to Ephesians chapter 5. Starting with verse 9. For the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. Let's pray. O Lord, you are a good, good Father. And you have given these words to us out of your loving kindness and your mercy and your greatness. And we just thank you and praise you for them, Lord. I ask that as we go through this morning, you would open up our eyes and open up our hearts so that we would see, hear, and receive what it is you're showing us this morning in these three verses in Ephesians. And I pray, Lord, as often that I do, pray that the words I speak would be only the words you'd have spoken. In Jesus' holy name, amen. So as we look here in these three verses, starting with verse 9, they're a continuation of the thought and the idea that Paul has had in the previous verses of 6 through 8. You see there, he's talking about, if you were to look backwards at verse 8, you would see he talks about, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. And so this idea of light that Paul is giving here in verse 8 is the light of the Lord. Now in verse 9, where we want to focus today, it says, for the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. So when Paul talks about the light here in verse 9, he's talking about this sphere of Christ, the sphere, the area of Christ, and walking in the light of Jesus, which equals the qualities listed there in verse 9. For the fruit of light and all that is good and right and true. Walking in the light of Jesus produces goodness, righteousness, and truth. Isn't that just a beautiful promise from the Lord Jesus, that if we walk in His light, we will produce, bear the fruit of goodness, righteousness, and truth. That just lifts my soul this morning to hear those words and to think and receive them into my mind, heart, and soul, and to recognize the joy that they bring. And I hope that they bring joy to your heart as well. So what does it mean when Paul says that walking in the light will produce the fruit of goodness and righteousness and truth? What does it mean to produce goodness? Well, in its most simplest definition, producing goodness is the producing of good things that are right in the eyes of the Lord and that are discerning what is pleasing to the Lord, as he says in verse 10. It's the opposite of doing bad. Producing goodness means that we avoid the sinful activities of darkness. And remember, as I mentioned earlier in the passage a few weeks ago, these are continuing to be identity statements. Walking in the light is our identity in Christ as being a source of light and goodness and righteousness and truth to those around us. To those who are brothers and sisters in Christ, it means producing the goodness of encouragement. It produces the righteousness of admonishing each other in the scriptures. and it produces the truth that Jesus Christ is our Savior and the remembrance of that for the joy of our hearts. For unbelievers, it means that we're producing the goodness and light by reflecting the love of Jesus to the non-believers around us. Righteousness means not participating with them in evil activities or unwholesome talk, as Paul mentioned earlier in this passage, or this section. And truth means that we speak the truth around unbelievers and speak the truth to them. What does it look like to speak truth to an unbeliever? You tell them the truth. That's not a trick question. You just tell them the truth. But what is the truth? That's right. The first truth is Jesus that we show to them and speak to them about who Christ is. The other truth that we speak to them is to not participate in covering up as they may want to do. And they may ask you to participate with them and help them in the cover-up. Speaking the truth means, no, sorry, I can't do that. That's not truthful. And you need to be honest and truthful about what you've done. All that is good and right and true. Yes. My encouragement to you, my brothers and sisters, is to walk in the light and produce the fruit of goodness, righteousness, and truth in your lives, to the lives of our fellow believers around us, and to the unbelievers we interact with. Now let's take a look at verse 10. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. When Paul says, try to discern, that word there used for discern in the original language has multiple meanings, but they all revolve around the idea of testing, seeing, coming to understand. So when Paul tells us to try and discern or try to test what is pleasing to the Lord, he most likely means approving of what is pleasing to the Lord. We are to seek and to understand, seek to know, and seek to live out our lives in such a way that we are pleasing to the Lord. That immediately raises the question, what kind of living out our lives is pleasing to the Lord? Well, the things we've been talking about in the previous verse, goodness, righteousness, truth, all of those things are walking in the light and doing what is pleasing to the Lord. But there's also more to walking in a way that, living our lives in a way that is pleasing to the Lord. One way we can live a life that is pleasing to the Lord is to praise Him each and every day. Every day we have reasons to praise the Father. That's right. Look, I think you've heard me say it before. Just making a green light gives me reasons to praise the Lord. I do every time. I make a green light instead of turning red and getting stopped. Praise you, Jesus. That simple, almost silly act of praising the Lord when you make a green light just is an example of how easy it is to find something to praise the Lord about every day. Just letting that soak in. Something to praise the Lord about every day. Another way we live a life that is pleasing to the Lord is by our prayers to Him every day. Praying to Him, praying for ourselves, praying for others, but also just in that praying time, stopping and letting Him speak back to us. Well, how does God speak to us, right? That immediately raises the question, how does He speak to us? Primarily, He speaks to us through the Word. But the Spirit itself, the Holy Spirit, will lead us and give us ideas and thoughts to dwell upon and meditate upon, or to even take action on. An example I've used in the past is you're going through your day and the Holy Spirit prompts you to reach out to someone you know. And then you pick up the phone and give them a call, and sure enough, they needed to hear from you today. And the words of encouragement, often words of encouragement that you are going to give them from the Word of God. Discerning what is pleasing to the Lord, living a life that is pleasing to our Father, includes understanding this, that as the children of God, believers become like God in their attitudes and preferences. As one of the persons I read this week, as they wrote that sentence, just think about that for a second. Every time you take a step forward in your growth in Christ, you're becoming more like God and more like Jesus. Isn't that just amazing? I mean, just wow. That just amazes me that we and me can become more like God by simply maturing and growing in our faith. Well, how do I get that from this verse? Well, I don't get it particularly from this verse, but this idea that as we grow, we become more like God comes from Romans chapter 8, verses 28 and 29 and 30. Of course, you're all familiar with 28 because people love quoting that, but they don't finish it by quoting 29 and 30. So let's turn to Romans chapter 8. The 28th verse. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purposes. For, or because, those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed into the image of His Son, or image of Christ, in order that we might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom He predestined, He also called. And those whom He called, He also justified. And those whom He justified, He also glorified. We are being conformed into the image of Jesus through our difficulties, through all things. The good and the bad, we are being conformed into the image of Jesus. If you had a difficult week, that difficulty that you experienced was for your good, so that you would be conformed into the image of Jesus. And if we are conformed into the image of Jesus, we're becoming more like God. Just like, yes, becoming more like God. Now, when I say becoming more like God, I don't mean that we are becoming God, right? The key word there is becoming like God, because we can't be God. We cannot become a God. We can only be conformed into the image of Jesus and becoming more like God, having more of His characteristics and His qualities, reflecting His light and His love even better than we did the day before. Let's take a look at verse 11. Take no part in unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. When we talk about living in the light, as I mentioned earlier, it produces goodness, righteousness, and truth, and it also exposes the counter vices. I talked about those vices last week in the previous verses of 6 through 8, and how we are to bring them into the light. And here, Paul is talking about, again, this idea of bringing the darkness, the unfruitful works of darkness, into the light, exposing them. So on this idea of works of darkness, let's take a look at Romans 13. I should have told you to hold your fingers in Romans. We're going to start with the last sentence of verse 11 in Romans 13. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Here in Romans 13, Paul's telling us that we were, as Paul tells us earlier in Ephesians, we were once darkness, but now we have cast off the darkness as believers and become children of light. In Romans 13, Paul is telling us to complete that process of casting off the works of darkness by continuing to grow in our Christian faith and continuing to become more like Jesus and releasing and letting go of our past activities and our past vices. Or, the reality is, we have to acknowledge that even as believers, we can develop vices and other things to take hold of than Jesus and walking in the light. And what he's telling us is, we can be free. But to be free, as I mentioned last week, it has to come out of the darkness and into the light. So this raises a question as I've been talking here about exposing darkness. Do we expose the dark deeds of unbelievers or of believers? To whom is Paul referring to when he talks about expose them? Well, primarily, it is of unbelievers. However, I would make the case that it is both. Now, how we do it is different. With unbelievers, we're much more bold in exposing the darkness and the works of darkness. An example that would be exposing darkness in our culture would be the preciousness of life and upholding the sanctity of life. It used to be when you'd say the sanctity of life, you were talking about abortion. But now we have to realize that our culture has digressed so much that even now we have to talk about working and speaking against the sanctity or speaking for the sanctity of life with euthanasia. God has created us and he gave us life and he has appointed the days of our lives and he will take us on the day that is appointed for us to be taken from this world. Euthanasia not only degrades the sanctity of life, but it also says that the individual who's doing the euthanasia is saying, I am God. I know what's best. I know when this person's life or my life needs to come to an end, or I choose when I die. I will not trust God with my life, but instead I'm going to take it in my own hands and end my life on my terms, not God's. That is why euthanasia is a sinful activity in my opinion, coming from the truth of Scripture. Now, when I say euthanasia, I'm clearly talking about human beings. So back to Ephesians. When Paul says, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, what he's saying is don't participate in them. And this idea of don't participate is stronger than having nothing to do with the deeds of darkness. It carries the idea of identity. We are not to be identified with the deeds of darkness. We are to be identified with the fruit of light. And when Paul says the unfruitful works of darkness, he means that nothing good comes from darkness. Much as he said earlier in the passage like we studied last week, that they're empty words, verse 6, let no one deceive you with empty words. In parallel to that is the unfruitful works of darkness, which produce nothing good, just like the empty words produce nothing good. Christ calls us to live a different life than what our fleshly nature and our sinful nature wants to live. Much like the unbelieving world around us, our sinful nature keeps trying to draw us back to the old ways and the old habits of living. The ones where we participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness. And instead of exposing them, we keep them hidden. That's not the way we're supposed to live. I know it's a little scary to think about living in the light, having our whole life out in the light. But praise God, we don't have to do it by ourselves. God and Christ have provided the Holy Spirit to help us live in the light. And by living in the light, the Holy Spirit not only helps us to live in the light, but it also empowers us to speak truth into the culture and society, into the lives of unbelievers around us. I gave an example earlier of sanctity of life as an example of speaking truth and reflecting light into the culture around us. I know that it's a scary idea, as I mentioned, but it's worth it. It's worth living in the light. Because true freedom, as I said earlier, true freedom comes from living in the light. See, we are not to be associated with the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. We are to be associated with the fruitful works of the light and of Christ and the works of the Holy Spirit in us, producing the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, happiness, self-control, plus a ton of other descriptors that are fruits of the Spirit. How do I say this? If we will, by the conscious choice of our lives, through the influencing power of the Holy Spirit and the uplifting and sustaining power of the Holy Spirit, walk in the light of the Lord Jesus, letting Him reflect His love and His truth and His glory off of us into the lives of those around us, we will live a life of joy and delight and peacefulness. Joy and peacefulness. It is such a wonderful thing to taste it, and it is a wonderful thing to live in it. Yes. What a beautiful thing to live in the light. And my encouragement to all of you, my brothers and sisters, live in the light for the pleasure of the Lord and the joy of your own hearts. Let's pray. O Lord, you are a good and gracious God. You have provided to us Jesus Christ, our Savior, and we praise you and thank you for your love for us that is so great that you would send your Son so that we might be redeemed. Jesus, we praise you and thank you for your goodness to live your life completely sinless and perfect, to be able to redeem us because you are the perfect sacrifice, the one for all times. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, for coming to indwell within us and to cause us to be able to not only want to walk in the light, but to actually empower us to walk in the light. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. Thank you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we ask all this, Father, in Jesus' holy name. Amen.